Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Great, good day to you. You're in the clubhouse. Welcome. It is already June. It's almost U.S. Open time. And in the words of one of the major golf fans in rock and roll history, Alice Cooper, school's out for summer. Yes, indeed. At least in Hawaii, all the public schools are out. And I certainly remember how I felt when I could look forward to at least 6 weeks of having a good time. It's going to be a great day for a round of golf, mostly sunny, slight chance of rain. High will be between 83 and 88, depending where you are. At Volcano this morning, it's 52 degrees. They've got a 926 and a 1012. There's also at Poipu an 840 and a 10 o'clock and an 1110. And, you know, if you need to do some Father's Day shopping, 40% off the shirt table for men and women's tops, additional 25% off the sale rack, 30% off shoes, and that's including FootJoy, Nike. Go check it out. And we've got, I think, over on Maui, at Maui Nui, there's an 852 and a 924 and a 1004. And we're talking this morning, first off, with Bruce Charlton, the president, Robert Trent Jones Design. He is the president and chief design person. We've got him on the line. Awesome. Let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina Video Surveillance Company. Also buy Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
And that just happens to be a Robert Trent Jones Jr. design. Bruce Charlton is the president and chief design officer of Robert Trent Jones II Design Firm, and he's the past president of American Society of Golf Course Architects. Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Thanks, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent, sir. It's going to be a great day for golf. And I was thinking about the Princeville Mackay course where I played, right? And then I thought, wait a minute, there are four Robert Trent Jones Jr. designs just on Kauai?
Yeah, that's right. Poipu, Kiahuna, Princeville Mackay, and then, of course, the Prince Course.
And the Prince Course, yeah. And I love the Prince. I got to play the Prince before there was any building on it.
When it was raw, huh?
Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, it's like the Prince Course is along the cliffs of Hanalei, while Princeville Mackay Course is above the cliffs here, overlooking the ocean. It's gorgeous. Both courses, one is very difficult. You've got the carries on the Prince Course. There is some carry to do on the Mackay Course, but it's more playable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely by design to be that way. The Mackay Course is meant to be more user-friendly and give people a little bit more strategic options and not have to carry the ball over hazards quite so much. And just a little more room to have fun.
Exactly. And I know that it's now 18 holes plus the 9 holes. When did that be? I remember playing, the 9 was kind of off on the side, and they said something was going to be done with it. Now it's finished, right? There's a nice 9 hole. That's the old
The
Woods course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was told that you were instrumental in putting all that together, making it the 18 and the 9.
That's correct. And the Woods course, they have done some work and made it more playable with some conditioning and some bunker stands and things like that. We did have that in as part of a 27-hole master plan to be refined along with the other 18 holes, and that master plan still exists. But, you know, those things happen over time. We just see how it goes.
Exactly. That's the way. I mean, it's Earth. You see how it everything changes. You took the 1971 design, and you when you renovated it, you really followed that design and stayed with it. But when I go to your website and Robert Trent Jones, just Google that and you'll find this gorgeous website. And the title is the 2015 U.S. Open Championship. Our most coveted award is being a part of the USGA's National Championship. What an amazing honor for you, for Robert Trent Jones, to, you know, I looked at this, at the pictures of Chambers Bay. Chambers Bay opened in, was it 2010?
No, it opened in 2007.
2007?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And then the U.S. Amateur was played there in 2010?
Yeah, 2010, exactly.
Okay. All right, so there's a before and an after picture of Chambers Bay. We see the quarry. Right, so you've got to go to the site. You see the quarry, and then you see where the quarry was and what the golf course. You know, it's the before and after of that particular shot. Now I can't see the lone tree on the golf course in that after shot. Is it hidden behind all the sand?
Yeah. Well, what happened was that you know that landscape came over on a even plateau over to Puget Sound and then just dropped off in a cliff. And over time, during the mining operations, the area around the Puget Sound got lowered and got lowered and lowered. Now, however, when we were got involved, one of the best things that our client, Pierce County, did is they kept that mining permit open so that we could, we could dig to China if we wanted to, and or fill to the height of the Empire State Building or whatever we wanted to. So that allowed us to do some creative things. And one of the things we did was all the golf holes that we laid out immediately paralleling Puget Sound, we lowered them as much, number 16, as much as 45 feet.
Wow.
from what we had to make the next series of holes feel like they're on Puget Sound, even though they're a golf hole away. It was kind of a fun technique we used in just our grading. And when we did that, we came about throughout the site. There was just, you know, kind of no trees, hardly anything, just kind of brush and scrub and some overgrown initial growth after they left the mining operation. So we're walking around, and all of a sudden, there's this one tree out near the edge of Puget Sound, and we just saved it, and we kept saving it and kept saving it. And next thing you know, it's kind of the lone sentinel tree out there.
It is. It's become your the Chambers Bay Golf little trademarks. I'm not sure. You know, this it's the tree that everybody sees when pictures taken. I was looking a little bit at your history. And let me ask you first, after reclaiming an oil field in Wyoming, I mean, creating a golf course where there was an oil field, putting in a golf course on what was a quarry on Puget Sound must have been relatively easy.
Well, yeah, compared to the Three Crowns Project in Casper where you're dealing with oil, that's definitely the case. Well, and you know, when you give a golf course architect sand, I mean, we start to salivate. We go nuts. You know, I mean, because sand is the absolute best medium to build a golf course in. It's a great medium to grow grass in. It creates firm and fast playing conditions. All those things like, whoa, that's a wonderful orchestra to us. You know, we love playing that kind of music. So when we first saw this site, you know, it was just left over mining. Operation. There was stockpiles of sand and gravel, and it looked like a mess. But to us, we saw, whoa, this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And then, like I said, when we found out that mining permit still existed, and then we found out what the goals of our client Pierce County was, you know, it became kids in the sandbox.
In a sandbox.
Quickly.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's perfect. So when you look at this course, and people classify courses being links course, a mountain course, is this a true links, or is it as close as one can find or in America?
Well, you know, it depends on your true definition of a links course. If you, the true definition of a links course is it's the land that links the arable land, the land that can be used for agriculture to the sea, and it typically has to be next to an estuary or an opening of water to the to a sea body. Well, if you take all those things into effect, we've got Chambers Creek, which empties into Puget Sound, which eventually ends up in the Pacific Ocean. And this was land that was left over between what was used for community and that coastline. So the beauty of what we believe it makes this a links course is not only that in terms of its location, but this climate, this maritime climate up there in Tacoma, Seattle, you know, it really can support fescue grasses. And when you go to Ireland and England and Scotland, I mean, that's the predominant grass on all these links courses. So when we found out that we could really grow, these fescue grasses really, really well, we did a bunch of test plots with Washington State University, and we got the exact kind of grass we wanted. And now we're playing golf on fescue grasses, the first U.S. Open that will be played on entirely 100% fescue playing surfaces.
Now, for the person who doesn't understand, fescue is when you look at a picture and you see that it's, I think it's kind of like pili grass in Hawaii. It gets really tall, and it's beautiful and golden in if it's allowed to grow real tall,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But how do you make that into a green? How long does it take for this root ball to grow down and mow it into a nice putting surface?
Well, you know, if you consider fescue grasses as a family, it's just like, you know, there's you have aunts and uncles and grandfathers and grandmothers and those kind of things. So there's many different grass varieties within the family of fescue, so that the playing surfaces, the turf grass surfaces, are all the same type of fescues. It's a mix of chewings and fine fescues. I won't get too detailed, but the bottom line is that the ball, it doesn't give, the ball scoots on this stuff. And when you've got a firm, fast subgrade of all sand, and you put fescue on top of it, you get some unbelievably goofy bounces. we have put a lot of slope and side slopes and back slopes and spill offs and all these things around greens and fairways and things, so that we like to call it, Bobby and I like to call it, the trampoline effect. When the ball hits the ground is when the real action at Chambers Bay is going to occur. So, you know, we think that there's going to be probably a number of players that are going to be outside their comfort zone a little bit, because they're so used to just firing away at a flag or firing away at a certain perspective or certain location on the fairway. At Chambers Bay, you got to think well beyond that. You got to think about, okay, the ball's going to land here, but it's going to end up over here. Because of the way the slopes and the ball were run.
Now, you in your own right were quite an amateur golfer. Can we take a quick break and come back about the playability,
sure,
and how it was? I'm sure you've played the course, right?
Oh, yeah, probably over 30, I don't know, 40 times or so, yeah.
All right, we're going to come back, talk about playing the course and the spectators. There's not a lot of room that I was there, and I couldn't see where they would be, other than in an arena-style experience, watching from, I thought, above. The walkway above the course would be perfect, but we'll talk with Bruce Charlton. He'll be back with us, of course, President and Chief Design Officer, Robert Trent Jones, 2 Design Firm. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532 800-328-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And Bruce Charlton, President and Chief Design Officer, Robert Trent Jones, II Design Firm, past President, America Society of Golf Course Architects, went to University of Arizona,
University of Arizona Wildcat.
Wildcat, exactly.
That's right.
And you took up, how old were you when you actually got into the game?
Oh, man, I was just a young kid, probably 4 or 5 years old. My sister made a golf club out of a stick and a rock.
Wow.
That I used to hit in the backyard back in Iowa. So
that's cool. And then, I mean, you had an amateur career. You had a Bachelor of Landscape Architecture Design. You must have decided very early that you wanted to do this.
Yeah, well, I used to draw golf courses as a kid. My mom kept paintings that I used to do. When we were in church, I used to draw golf holes on the back of the program. I should have been listening to the preacher, but I was drawing golf holes. And then I went to school, University of Arizona, to get a landscape architecture degree because I did some research, and that's kind of where I found out that a lot of people would get into the industry that way. I spent a lot of time on the golf course as a kid, working on the golf course superintendent staff at our local club. And, I remember one really hot day in Iowa. It can get really hot and humid, and I'm sitting there, and I'm mowing things away, and I'm trying to figure out, well, who decided to put that there, and who decided to put this here? Then that's when I said, there's got to be somebody that figures all this stuff out. And so that's when I really started researching golf course architecture and kind of fell into it. I went to the University of Arizona, got my degree, and literally just a couple months after that, Bobby had an opening, and boom, I was in the right place, right time.
Perfect. So here comes Chambers Bay, the opportunity to create a gorgeous sandy golf course with perfect drainage. One of the things also, and I digress because we want to talk about playing and spectators, but one of the things that I've noticed when I've read about you is you really care that people understand that golf course designers, superintendents, to them, water and the use of water is crucial. And the general public needs to know that you're stewards of the land.
Well, I tell you what, Chambers Bay is a great example because, once again, the fescue grasses is probably one of the most drought-tolerant grasses on the planet. It doesn't require as much water as other grasses, doesn't require as much fertilizer or chemical treatments either. So it's very much a sustainable grass. And Chambers Bay only has just over 60 acres of playable turf. So, but it's very, very wide. This grass type combined with the water, we use treated water, so we're doing the right thing at Chambers Bay all the way in terms of that sustainability message for sure.
Fantastic. Okay, let's play.
All right.
when I walked the course, because I can't say I played it.
You need to come out. We'll show you around.
It's a challenge, though. I mean, yeah. I walked all 18 holes. The challenge that I found when I walked it is I walked away in August saying this is going to be a physical test, an ability test, and it's going to test their mind, everything. It's going to be unlike anything they've ever come across, and it's going to blow some minds.
Well, yeah, I think you're 100% correct. When we first showed the USGA and the officials from the USGA, Mike Davis in particular, the golf course, we were just growing in the golf course, and they were blown away by the scale, by the elevation change, and by the width, and just a number of things. And so they saw a golf course that could not only test the physical abilities of the player and their shot making, but the mental aspects of the game. And then probably the thing that I'm most proud of is the fact that it's an endurance test to play
yes.
this golf course. I mean, it's got 204 feet of elevation change, and we asked the players to do that three times, climb up that elevation three times during the round, twice during the front nine and once in the back. By design, we wanted the players to feel that on both nine holes. So that's a key component of what will be the test. And I think come down on Saturday and Sunday, that may start to take a some toll on people. You know, they got to be in good shape.
They really do. And that's why you can't ride a cart at Chambers Bay. You have to have a pull cart. And better yet, be sure to get a caddy.
The caddies are great. Caddies are great. They're characters. They're all, you know, people that live close by, and they really enjoy it. They have a huge sense of pride of that golf course, the caddies.
They do. So when you play, did you caddy yourself? Did you carry your bag, push your bag? Did you have a caddy?
I pushed my bag probably 3 or 4 times. Every other time I've got a caddy, and of course, they have so much fun when we play together, and I've got a caddy. They're picking my brain all the time, like, why in the world did you do this? What were you thinking here? You know, that kind of stuff. So yeah. It's been a lot of fun every time I've played it with the caddies. We've had a blast.
But are you exhausted after an 18-hole round?
Well, I'll tell you a story, and my friends back in Iowa will appreciate this. My high school golf team buddies, we get together every fall, and last fall we got together and we did 36 holes in one day at Chambers Bay last fall. One of my best buddies is Zach Johnson's uncle, and so you know he's reporting to Zach that, hey, you better be in shape, and I've stayed in contact with Zach a little bit recently, and it's the kind of golf course that it's a physical test also.
Okay, well, you did 36 holes, so you're
yeah, we did 36 holes. We won't tell you how much beer was consumed after the round, but
you hydrated during that.
Yes,
30...
we hydrated afterwards.
That's something else that I noticed, that because it is so sandy or quarry, it's taking the water right out of your body, not just the walking and moving, but also the ground. It's you need to really hydrate more than you would imagine, more than normal in the heat, in hot conditions.
That's a great observation, Danielle, because I think it is because of the environment you're in. It does take the liquid out of the air faster. I don't know why. It just seems to be kind of a microclimate thing. Yeah. So having a lot of water and staying liquidated. I know Jack Nicklaus used to eat a lot of bananas during a round and that kind of thing. That's a good thing to do. Yeah.
Potassium. Keep that.
Yep.
Yeah, and that will keep that water in you, hopefully. So with the growing of the game, and this isn't an inexpensive golf course to play. It's quite expensive for a community, but then they're going to reap the rewards, of course, of Fox Television showing it. And really, if you haven't gotten a ticket, you didn't get a chance to go, you're not close, you can't afford to, your seat watching on TV is probably going to be the best place for you to be. Because when you were designing the course, the holes are so close to each other. Did you not think of people walking along and watching? Since Robert Trent Jones, II design firm, certainly wanted to have a major championship there. And usually with major championships, it comes a large number of spectators. What was your thinking there?
Well, yeah, I mean, we knew going in with the design that we wanted it to, you know, have the type of golf course that could test the best players in the world and have the gallery circulate through it. And, in fact, we have one of the community pathway that runs right through the middle of the course. And we knew when we were designing that and putting that in play with the golf course and adjacent holes that would be one of the main gallery circulation routes throughout the course. We did keep a lot of area in between holes in terms of just open space. You know, there's only one tree out there, so you get to a point of elevation above play. You know, you can see a lot of holes.
That's right.
Especially if you got some kind of binoculars or something. So it's designed to be, just a different scale, a different type of place. And walking with one group, I know when we were working with the USGA outside the ropes guys, they kept on talking about, hey, we've got to make sure we've got room for the Tiger Woods crowd. It's true. I mean, because people will follow. And there's just only one spot on the course. When you get up on hole number 8 and number 9, they're not going to let you go to the green and to the tee just because of the elevation change and the steep slopes adjacent to it. They were worried about people slipping and falling and, you know, that kind of stuff. Just because it's so darn steep and you're going downhill so fast.
Yes.
So, but the other, they've got a great job, and my buddies have been sending me photos of all the grandstands they're putting up, and we know they're doing player walkways over gallery, So this place will handle a huge crowd, a lot of people will be able to see a lot of golf from a number of different locations.
Well, the photographs that are taken from my pictures, you know, on my little camera, not using sophisticated lenses, were impressive. The colors, the landscape, I call them archaeological items. I wish the pier hadn't had to come down. I thought that pier was just, something about it, you know?
Yeah, the pier had been there for ages, obviously, and those sorting bins that are on the right side of the 18th hole, those concrete structures.
They're great.
There's actually still a conveyor belt underneath those, and what they would do is they would drop down the different types of gravels and sands to the conveyor belt and then take it out to that pier and put it on barges and take it away. So we kept all that stuff as part of the history.
Yeah, and I like that. And I saw a book that's on the website, Robert Trent Jones 2 Design. Just put in Google, because I don't have it up right now.
Okay.
The America's St. Andrews is the book.
Yes.
Beautiful pictures.
Great book, written by two guys up there in the Pacific Northwest. Blaine Newman, who's a writer, been writing in that part of the world, sports and golf, and then Tom Cade, who works with the Northwest Pacific Golf Association. So these guys did a great job. It's a great story of what Chambers Bay is all about.
And beautiful pictures.
Sure.
I found the site. Okay, I just RTJ2.com.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's our website. We just updated it with a few things going on in Chambers Bay. We've updated it, so.
It's spectacular. Very, very beautiful. On a final note with you, it's been so much fun talking with you. I feel like we could go on for hours. growing the game through international business and getting the children. I love what you wrote about building kid-friendly environment that makes golf cool, gives kids a place to hang out, a pitch and putt kind of place.
Yeah.
Is there money in that? Is it affordable? Can guys do this?
Well, I think what you need to do is think of a space as multiple uses, and to take advantage of open space and make your practice area. Maybe you can turn that into a pitch and putt course towards the end of the day, where the kids, when they get out of school, they can go play, have some fun with golf. You know, our course in Italy that we're just finishing up, they have a foot golf there, and that's a great concept where you basically play golf with a soccer ball on a golf course, and you get the kids that are really good soccer players to understand. I remember I was with one of the young kids from Italy, and he goes, so you mean if the least number of kicks I win? And I go, yeah. He goes, oh, wow, that's totally against. Usually it's the most goals that win, you know. So, but anyhow, there's all kinds of different ways that I think the children of today and the next generations, you know, they're so used to, you know, instant gratification with the internet and all the great games and all that kind of stuff that happens so quickly. I think golf is a little bit more of a patience test for them, and they need to be having fun out there and doing some different things. So golf has to address that.
And the PGA of America has with league golf. It's become very popular here, and Kiahuna is putting in foot golf on Kauai, right? So it's exciting what's happening. And I just want to mention for people who have questions they'd like to ask Robert Trent Jones too, or Bruce Charlton about Chambers Bay and the U.S. Open, there's going to be a live Twitter chat on the 11th of June, right?
Yep, exactly. Sponsored by the American Society of Golf Course Architects. Yeah, we're gonna take our shots, I guess.
No, I think you're gonna find it fascinating. People love to be able to ask questions, and for the most part they're quite nice. So on Twitter you just post your questions or just follow the conversation, just see what's being said. You don't have to put yourself out there. Sometimes people get embarrassed. But it's at ASGCA, that's for American Society of Golf Course Architects, U.S. Open. And you can always go to the American Society of Golf Course Architects page or to rtj2.com. Go to their media section, and you'll find the page about this Twitter chat with Robert Trent Jones and Bruce Charlton. And I'd love to play a round of golf with you, Mr. Charlton, at Chambers Bay. I'll take you up on that.
Well, yeah, you should. I mean, it's just a short hour flight, hour and a half flight up for me up there, and it's a little further for you coming from Honolulu, but I'm sure that there's planes that do it.
Yes, there are, and I was there, and I loved it. So maybe one day I'll be able to do that with you, working in your schedule. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay, great. I hope you're... listeners enjoy watching the tournament on Fox. I mean, it'll be the first time that Fox is televised, and they've got some really neat things up their sleeves. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Absolutely. It's the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. Aloha.
Aloha.
We'll be back after this. We're going to talk about Slaying the Tiger. The young man who wrote the book, of course, Shane Ryan, writer and author of Slaying the Tiger, up next. You know, it doesn't take much right now to slay the tiger, since he just shot an 85 at an event he's won five times. The records that Tiger Woods holds, so far no one's come close. But we're still celebrating the young guys who are playing this game, and they'll all be at Chambers Bay for the U.S. Open. And we'll be back right after this with Shane Ryan. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I was playing Kaneohe Clipper last Sunday. Actually, I wasn't. I shouldn't say I was playing. I was in a golf cart last Sunday for, oh, I don't know, 10 hours. And I was just thinking about the mongoose. The mongoose usually steals the sandwich out of your golf cart. And the birds might do that too. But more than likely, the bird will swoop down. There's some big birds at Kaneohe Clipper. And they'll steal your golf ball. We've got an 840 at Poipu. A Kapolē has a 1215. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 1110 or an 1140. At Olomana, there's buy three, get one free. Okay, so that's how you get your foursome and bring the price down. Makaha East has a 9 o'clock. The Emerald Course at Wailea has a 10:30. And Maui Nui has a 9:24 and a 10:04 if you want to get some golf in this weekend. Shane Ryan, author, writer, has a podcast, and his book is called Slaying the Tiger, Inside the Ropes on the PGA Tour, the new PGA Tour. Welcome to the show, Shane.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm jealous that you live in Hawaii and are there all the time. Amazing.
Yeah, this book is kind of like about the aging of Tiger Woods and the rising stars of 2014, the young golfers. Can we go through them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely fabulous. Okay, I've got to start with Patrick Reed. There was a lot of news came out when your book was first. It's out this month, right?
Yeah, it actually comes out Tuesday, so you know people can order it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, and on Tuesday, hopefully, it'll be in stores everywhere.
Okay, so it's available on Tuesday, and we're doing a little preview, but there was some buzz about what you wrote about Patrick Reed, and tell us what the story is.
Yeah, so Patrick Reed, a lot of people probably know, he's a young golfer. He's very, very good. He has, I think he's got 4 wins now on the PGA Tour. And he's just an intensely competitive guy who, you know, he won 2 national championships in college. He was undefeated at the NCAA match play over 2 years. He's just really one of America's brightest young stars. And, you know, maybe he's the guy who can challenge Rory McIlroy at some point. And, you know, between Heath and Fowler, that's kind of the rising stars of America. So, yeah, the story that you talked about, which can be found on Deadspin or TobaccoRoadBlues.com, which just, you know, I did with Patrick Reed what I did with everybody else over the course of 2014, which is I spent a year with these guys. I went to about 30 to 35 PGA Tour events, all 4 majors, the Ryder Cup, just really trying to get to know them and tell their story in this book that's coming out. And, you know, Patrick Reed has a complicated story. He's a guy who is so intensely competitive that he's not incredibly well-liked. And in this Deadspin story, I kind of got into his past a little bit, which included getting kicked off the University of Georgia team, alienating some people at Augusta State because they suspected him of cheating twice, and he actually got suspended for those suspicions while he was there. And then there's a lot of other rumors and allegations that circled around him. So, yeah, that was the crux of the story, going sort of back in his life and showing me the good, the bad, and the ugly with Patrick Reed.
Interesting. He's the one who wears the red shirt on Sunday, has the temerity to wear Tiger's red, right? And he's the top 5 player in the world. But at the same time, you know, when you see him smile, sometimes I think he does that just to get attention. But what was his response to the story of cheating? I mean, in golf, that's huge. You have to call yourself on your own rules violations. What was his response?
Yeah, so he went, for a long time there was no response, and then he went on the Golf Channel and claimed it didn't happen, and that supposedly he had affidavits from both of his coaches saying it didn't happen. Well, come to find out, the affidavits were sort of cooked up half excuses, and I followed up with different members of his team and with different sources at Augusta State in Georgia just to double down on my efforts and prove that, you know, everything I wrote was true. And it's, you know, a good summary. It's so complicated to discuss every aspect of it.
Yes.
But if people want a really good summary of it, from the start to Patrick Reed's response to our response to Patrick Reed, there's a Deadspin article called "Patrick Reed Tries to Defend Himself, Slices Into the Woods." And it just kind of gets into the whole thing. It gets into the beginning, the response, and like I said, everything that happened after. But yeah, there's a lot of, there was a big PR campaign to try to discredit what I did, and, you know, it fell flat in his face. And now, I don't know. I guess we're in limbo. I haven't heard anything more since that happened, but I suppose you never know. I'm supposed to be careful talking about this stuff in case they decide.
All right.
Decide to sue us or something.
Well, then we'll stop right now, and I appreciate you going as far as you
did. No. Yeah, it's fine. It's like I said, the information's all out there. I'm not hiding anything. I just, you know, I like to say, yeah, go read this article on Deadspin, and everything's there. I mean, you know, the sources are there and the facts are there.
This is Shane Ryan. He's the author of Slaying the Tiger. The book is out on Tuesday. It's Inside the Ropes on the new PGA Tour. We talk about the new, now we're talking Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, Keegan Bradley, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler. I'm going to go straight to Keegan Bradley next.
Sure.
When I met him, there was a look in his eye and an attitude, and I was completely put off. He didn't have a great round at Kapalua, granted, you know, the plantation course can do that to you. But when I read what you said about a colossal chip in his game, I thought, you know, where is this chip on his shoulder coming from?
Yeah, Keegan's an interesting story. Like you, my interactions with him weren't great. He's kind of a little bit frosty. He came off a little bit arrogant to me. And when we had our interview, it was, and I want to say as a caveat, we talked about Reed and and Bradley. Most of the stories about these guys are positive, and the interviews were great, and I really liked them. So, you know, we were starting with the negative, but
I apologize.
No,
I just
no, it's not your fault at all. It's totally fine. I just want people to know that, you know. We'll go to Bubba Watson next, and we'll get all the negatives.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, with Keegan, you know, it was, it just wasn't really fun. He didn't really want to do the interview. But, you know, to answer your question, where his chip comes from, he does have a pretty interesting story. He grew up in Vermont, which is obviously in the northeastern part of the United States, and it's pretty rare to see a PGA Tour golfer from that part of the country. It's not unheard of, but for the most part, these guys come from the Southeast, California, Texas, places where it's warm and you can
practice,
you know, play
all
golf
the time.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, because you and I both know obsession is such an important part of becoming a PGA Tour pro. I mean, you have to be obsessed. And when there's 3 feet of snow on the ground, and by the way, that's where I come from, too. There's 6 months of the year. There's no thought of even playing golf. So, you know, he came up from a pretty humble background. He wasn't a rich kid, and, you know, he never got a lot of attention in junior golf, and then he never really got recruited for college, and he went to St. John's, which is in New York City, in Queens, which is not a golf powerhouse. He had a really good career. He won tournaments. He didn't get picked for All-American. Then he went pro, nobody recognized him, and he won a tournament, and he still felt like nobody recognized him.
Huh.
And that finally changed when, of course, he won the PGA Championship. But Keegan is someone who has always had a chip on his shoulder. He always thinks he doesn't get respect. Even now, after winning the PGA Championship, a lot of people either say it was kind of a fluky thing because Jason Duffner collapsed, or he's one of these guys who uses the anchored putters that are going to be banned, so does that cast some doubt on the legitimacy of it? There's always something in his mind. He's a little bit like Michael Jordan that way, in the sense that he's always kind of fighting some perception.
Interesting. All right, well, that explains it. I feel bad for him now. It kind of, it's like, I want to go, hey, come on, let's get your mental game going here.
No, but you know, you're absolutely right. He's not a very nice guy.
You know,
so,
and it's not, I don't mean it in a bad way. I was just surprised, you know. But then when I watch him play, you can see that his intensity, I think sometimes that just gets in his way, that you know, forward, backward, forward, backward. It's just like, whoa, dudes, chill.
Yeah.
Talking about Mr. Chill, Rory McIlroy. He's, I mean, on again, off again. He's just doing amazing things on the golf course, and then he's missing the cut. It's unlike Tiger Woodsian. You know, when you talk about slaying the tiger, and we're talking with Shane Ryan, the author of Slaying the Tiger. This is not, you know, I think he's a great golfer, but he's not doing Tiger-esque things, not when Tiger was in his prime.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. You know, it's very interesting. I'm not going to pretend that I got to know Tiger Woods that well, but I was around him quite a bit last year. And obviously we all saw what he did in his period of dominance, which was incredible. But with Tiger, there was always a sense that he was almost like this golf robot. You know, he was born and it seemed like he had not much else going on in his life, and he took on the status of icon, and he kept winning and kept winning. And then, of course, it turns out there was this secret stress in his life, which, you know, had the outlet. The release valve was not a good one, and it blew up in his face on Thanksgiving. But until that national humiliation, I guess, happened, he was one-track mind. And I don't necessarily think that's healthy. And so the contrast with Rory is one of the smartest people I met out in tour, one of the smartest players I've ever seen, and very competitive, just like Tiger. But unlike Tiger, he's very human. So this year, you know, we saw he played in San Francisco, and then he played in Charlotte. Then he had to fly back to Europe. He had to do, like, his crazy Nike press day. He had to play at Wentworth at the BMW PGA, and then he had to host the Irish Open. And the truth is that, I mean, there's not many people who could bear up under that kind of schedule. I think he was exhausted. Which is why we saw him shoot an 80 at Wentworth and miss the cut at the tournament he was hosting. But you know, he's like a human being. He has ebbs and flows. When he's at his best, there's no player out there today like him.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike Tiger, like you said, he's not going to do that week in and week out. The guy is going to have moments where he just loses that energy, where he loses his focus. And for me, actually, that's something I really like about him, because I think it's very relatable. Because, you know, I'm like that. I think most people are like that. to keep that focus going 100% all the time is almost unimaginable. And I think as we saw with Tiger, it doesn't always have the best consequence.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And Tiger did not have a schedule like that. He was often criticized during his heyday for not playing a huge schedule, and he would never have played five back-to-back. Well, I shouldn't say never, because I don't have all the stats in front of me, but I don't recall him playing 5 weeks in a row and hosting an event at the same time. There are a lot of challenges that we don't see that players experience behind the scenes, which you just said about the Nike Day. They have photo shoots, they have sponsor engagements, they have all kinds of things besides, hey, practicing, you know, that still needs to get somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But then there's, you know, Ricky Fowler. I love Ricky Fowler. He's, what was he, voted the underachiever or overrated underscoring person by his peers? But then he goes and beats them that week. I thought that was perfect.
The timing was incredible. And Ricky Fowler, he's an exceptional person too. He did that perfectly. He got voted one of the most overrated players along with Ian Poulter. Then he went and won the Players' Championship. Ricky is just a fascinating guy. He's another person who's not only very smart, but very, very humble. When I talked to him, he told me all about growing up in Southern California. And again, he did not grow up in the wealthiest household. You know, his mom worked from home. His dad had a trucking business that he started out of high school. And he had the kind of family where if he had ever thrown a club, you know, he would have been banned from playing golf for a year. Like, his parents were very, very strict.
Wow.
But they were nice people, too. You know, and I've met them. I've met his mother and everything. They had just, like, one of these families that has these kind of old-school values. And he comes from a very interesting heritage. His mother, his grandparents on his mother's side, his grandfather was a Japanese-American who was actually in World War II internment camp as a kid. And his mother, his grandmother on his mother's side was a Navajo Indian. And, you know, the Navajos, of course, were responsible for the code that the U.S. used in World War II. So it's this very interesting confluence of American history that's produced through the generations of a guy like Ricky Fowler. And he's aware of where he comes from. And he's just a nice person, but a competitive person. But he's one of the few people who I have never seen get angry on a course. You know, he might have a look of frustration after a moment, but he never blows up. And this includes when he couldn't catch Martin Keimer at the U.S. Open, when he couldn't catch Rory at the PGA or the British. He's almost got like this Buddhist mentality. He's really, really impressive person, I think.
And this is Shane Ryan we're talking with. He's the author of Slaying the Tiger, about inside the ropes on the new PGA Tour. He spent 2014 getting to know all of these young guns on the PGA Tour. Ricky Fowler, I did not know that his heritage included, I mean, you're talking to an audience on the radio right now of a lot of people who have relatives who were in those internment camps.
So, yeah, yeah.
So I didn't know that. And it's that this kind of book that you're writing that makes the people that we watch now much more relatable. You know, it's important. Tiger Woods doesn't need that because of whatever it is he is. He just is on television and you look at him. He's got the aura, the je ne sais quoi, that you're born with. It's Michelle Wee. It's that it factor that most of these guys just don't have. They just don't. And
it's true. And, you know, and I think Ricky Fowler is a great example of a guy who, when we watch him on TV, what do we know him for? Well, we know him for his clothes, right? These orange Puma sort of almost like a jumpsuit that he wears. And it's a little bit difficult at times. Like you said, with Tiger, we know who he is. It's obvious. A guy like Ricky Fowler, it's not obvious. He seems like he might be kind of flashy, might be kind of a punk. And so that was one of the real pleasures of writing this book, was getting behind this image and seeing, who really are these guys, especially with Ricky.
I'm just getting a call from David McKenzie, who's on our next up, Golf State of Mind. Sorry about that. What I was trying to say is what you're doing with your book is giving us an insight into the people, giving us a way to be able to relate to them, so that when we watch, we know them a little bit more. You've personalized the experience. And I think slaying the tiger, while I find it difficult to think that Tiger Woods, with 14 majors, 79 wins, 21 wins as an amateur, three back-to-back U.S. amateurs, the lowest career scoring average in PGA Tour history still, the youngest to have won the career Grand Slam, one of five players to do that, the only player to do it all in a row, the Tiger Slam, with the all-time consecutive cuts record, which, I, you know, to tell you the truth, I think the reason he pulled off that shot to make the cut at Memorial was so that he could add, add to his cuts made record.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's just interesting. And I really like what you've done. Can we is there somebody you'd like to close on?
Let's see. We can talk about, you know, Jordan Spieth is a guy who I think is really interesting.
And I'm glad you said that, because one of the, my note was, sometimes he just seems a little too good to be true.
Yeah, and that's, and that was, you know, we talk about perceptions versus reality. That was my big mission with Jordan Spieth, was because this unbelievable maturity that, you know, I got to say, when I was 20 and 21, I certainly wasn't like that, and I think most people would agree. So for me, it was about getting to know, you know, what's real and what's just image in this perfect image, this maturity thing. And what I found was that, I mean, he is almost as, we think it's too good to be true. I don't think he's acting. I don't think he's putting on any kind of act.
Wow.
What I saw in 2014, and what I think makes the story of Jordan Spieth in my book really cool, is that, you know, he was in contention at the Masters. He was in contention at the Players' Championship. And then he had a really big singles match versus Graham McDowell at the Ryder Cup. And in all three cases, he got out to a lead on the final day. And in all three cases, there was something that happened that discouraged him. And this is where we can see the crack in the armor of Jordan Spieth, is that he would get really down on himself, and he would mumble to himself and almost berate himself on the course. And you could see this negative energy pile up on Jordan Spieth and sort of bring him down, and he lost all of those events. And so for me, and what this book is about in a big sense with Jordan, is here's his weakness, and, you know, when is he going to overcome it? Is he going to overcome it? How does he overcome it? And then the book concludes with obviously the fact that, well, it took him a year. You know, this kid, it took him a year to win the Masters. And so what I think is neat is we're looking at not only a transitional point in golf, but a transitional point for a lot of these players, including Jordan Spieth, where we are seeing him right before he figured it out. And we might never see that again with Jordan Spieth. He might, you know, this image that he presents might be flawless from now on. And I think that's what my book captures with him. And I think it's, I'm like so glad that I caught him right at this point.
That's excellent. Shane Ryan, I'm looking forward to reading Slaying the Tiger out on Tuesday. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Danielle. This was great.
Awesome. We're going to come back and see what we can do about that voice that's inside your head that's telling you that I'm not good enough, or I just blew it and it's all my fault and I can't do it. And yeah, that all that negative energy. It's inside us, and slaying it is one of the challenges. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. We've got a couple of things going on that I want you to know about, and we'll be talking with Guy Yamamoto from Mililani Golf Club in a couple of minutes about the Golf and Food Fest, the expo that's coming up next weekend. Also next weekend is the HGRA sample sale at 9 o'clock at Washington Intermediate in the cafeteria. Well, let's go straight now. David McKenzie has been on the show many times, mental game coach, golfstateofmind.com. That's where you'll find him, golfstateofmind.com. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Did you hear me wrap up with Shane Ryan?
I sure did. Yes, I enjoyed it.
And we were talking about Jordan Spieth. And the self-talk, that negative self-talk, the disappointment of in oneself when you're on the course. And I got to tell you, it's something that most of us suffer from.
We do. And it's, you know, it's something that we need to get better at in order to, you know, to help us control our round of golf. I mean, when you're beating yourself up and you're being very self-critical, you know, we're our own worst enemies at a lot of times during the round. And it's amazing the power that self-talk can have. And I think that, you know, having a few, you know, key phrases and things that that resonate for you are very important to have in your armory when you're out there, so you can bring yourself back up and remind yourself that, you know, we're just playing a game. Although obviously at the PGA Tour level, it's a little more serious than that.
Yes, but what you just said is so vital. I mean, I hadn't even thought of a key phrase that, you know, I could, you know, a mantra that I could put inside there instead of one going, God, you can't hit it. David McKenzie is currently coaching tournament golfers, amateurs, PGA professionals on how to play and how to teach golf through a better mental approach. And you can subscribe to a mental game approach to staying focused and relaxed on his website. It's free. It's golfstateofmind.com. So there were four ideas, I guess, I'm not sure, on how to improve our mental game. And one reason, number one, the reason why I'm not getting it right, and I didn't want to use not getting it right. I wanted to just find a positive way of putting that. But number one would be your focus is in the wrong place. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think the number one fundamental place to start with the mental game is the concept of process over outcome. And I'm sure everyone's heard that before. But what it means is, most golfers put all their attention on the outcome, and that is the outcome of every shot and how it relates to their score and their overall score. So you're starting off around putting your focus in the wrong place. I mean, if you're warming up on the driving range and, you know, you've been practicing well during the week and, you know, you're expecting a good round and you start to think about what a good, you know, what sort of score you might shoot that day, you're immediately putting pressure on yourself and you're immediately becoming very outcome focused. And of course, you know, when you start to miss a couple, you start to think about what that means for your overall score. And so, you know, as you're referring to an article that I wrote recently on the website, we're very, as a society and as people, we've been taught to be very outcome driven, you know, from day one, well, not from day one, but from when we're kids, you know, the idea of getting good grades and getting into a good school and all these kinds of things. And everything is about numbers and outcome and results. And so in order to play good golf, you've got to reverse that. And we've got to focus much more on what is within our control, because the outcome of each shot is not within your control. No one in the history of the game has been able to tell you exactly where they're going to be able to hit the ball before they hit it. No one has ever been able to say, I'm going to go out there and shoot 65 today. It's uncertain. And when you focus on uncertainty in golf, that's when you're setting yourself up for a rocky ride. So if you can start to focus on what is going to best enable you to execute every shot as best you can, then that is with 100% within your control. And so you have 100% control over whether you go through your process of picking the right target, visualizing the shot, feeling the shot, executing it without any swing thoughts, and then accepting the outcome, whatever. And so if you can start to make that your goal for every round, And there's a couple of ideas on the website there for scoring and measuring your how well you've done at that. You start to turn it on your head, so it's on its head. So before every round, your expectation is to stick to that process, and then it just takes a lot of pressure off, and it makes the game a lot easier.
Yeah, on the site, you'll also find four reasons your scores aren't getting better. Rory McIlroy makes classic mental game mistake. Seven confidence-boosting tips for your next round of golf. And how to practice for playing the golf course. And I thought Tiger needs to read how to practice for playing the golf course, because he can't seem to get that. He's doing perfect. You watch him on the driving range when he's warming up. You know, it's one after another, flush, bam, boom, he's on target. And then he goes on the course and he's all over the place. How to practice for playing the golf course? Can you give us a little insight?
Yeah, well, I think there's two types of practice. There's practice where you're trying to work on a new movement and you're conscious of what your body's doing, and you're really trying to make that part of your muscle memory, as we call it. And then there's practice for playing. And I think that most of us practice in a way that is we're giving ourselves a lesson all the time in our heads. It's like, you have to take the club back in this way, and you have to come from the inside and make sure you release, and all these kinds of things. And we get into that habit on the driving range, and we take that onto the golf course. And as soon as we start to miss a couple, then that's when it becomes even worse. And you've got this like coach inside your head, and any movement that you do, whether it's golf or outside of golf, when you're thinking about a movement, you're not going to do it as well as when you're just trusting it. And when your subconscious is controlling the movement versus your conscious mind. So there's that part of practice where you are conscious of how your body's moving. And then there's the part of practice where you have to let go and you have to trust your subconscious. And so you start to practice as if you're on the golf course. But a key element of that is to make practice harder than the course, if you can. So many of us just have a bucket of balls, and we're hitting one after the other. There's no consequences. If you miss one, it doesn't matter. There's another ball there. Instead, what we should be doing, and what I like to do with my students, is putting pressure on every shot and trying to make every shot feel like it's on the golf course. Well, your heart rate up a little bit. You're picking narrow targets. You're playing games with yourself, and you have a score to beat, and these kinds of things. So then when you get on the golf course, if you play the right games and you've made practice difficult, the golf course seems easier. But with Tiger, I don't know. I think he's got there's so many things going on with Tiger. I'm not sure whether it's the way he practices or what at the moment, but 13 over was felt bad for the guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was almost like, okay, I've made the cut. Whew. And then everything went out of him. You know, it was this big moment, like I've just won something. Jack Nicklaus said it on television. He said it twice already. It's between his ears. It's all about what's going on in his head. And I don't think he's trusting his own abilities. I don't think he has any confidence in that. What did you say it was? Trusting in your instincts, just letting yourself play golf. And we've been saying this for years, since 2013 when he won Player of the Year. And then he had the surgery on his back. And you also have to remember that there's so much going on with surgery. I went through back surgery. It just takes time. It's an interesting problem that he's going through. And as he said himself, I've just got to play more tournaments. He's got to put himself in these really ugly positions to come back up. On the other hand, we have Rory McIlroy on your website, and it's golfstateofmind.com. We're talking with David McKenzie. Rory McIlroy makes classic mental game mistakes. So what is a classic mental game mistake that we could learn from?
Well, it just so happened that I saw Rory do this, and I agree with Shane and what you guys were talking about earlier. Rory's got an unbelievable schedule, and we sometimes forget about that side of it, that what's going on behind the scenes and the pressure that creates as well. But Yeah, there were a couple of instances in the round at the, I think it was at Wentworth, where he, you know, he looked clearly just, you know, disgusted with the shots that he had hit, and we saw another club throwing incident. And so I thought, you know, I'd highlight that with you know, seeing Rory McIlroy do it, and that's how a lot of us feel after we've just, you know, coughed another ball out of bounds or into the trees. The time that you allow yourself to get over a shot can have a big effect on how well you play the next shot. And you know, Rory actually said that he was just having a lot of trouble that week accepting bad shots. But if you, it's okay to get a little frustrated with bad shots as long as you are able to put it behind you pretty quickly. Tiger had a 10-pace rule that he used to have where he allowed himself to get a little angry, and we saw that happen, and then 10 paces after the ball, I think it's like 7 seconds is apparently the number of seconds. If you hang on to something longer than that, then it actually kind of sets in emotionally and can affect your mood.
His dad, Earl gave him only X amount of seconds to be angry, and then it had to be done.
Right, exactly. So that's why having some kind of, you know, trigger as a part of your routine, you know, whether it's the action of putting the club back in the bag or something that you say to yourself, it's something that you don't, that you can kind of identify with, and it's a signal that the shot is over and it's time to switch off. And then that time in between shots, you know, that's a very, very important part. And if you're walking down the fairway, still hanging on to what's just happened in the past, and it raises your, you know, your tension, and you become anxious, and then the chances of you doing the same thing again are pretty high, or higher than if you had just been able to switch off, get back into the present, figure out a way to calm yourself down, and you know, breathe properly and distract yourself from your performance and your score and your swing. Then that's the key. That time in between shots is 90% of the game, but yet 99% of golf instruction is on the shot. So we all need to get a lot better about how we manage that time after the shot and in between shots.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, because that's when you should be shaking it off and then let it go and don't even think about it. And it translates into real, by the way, real world stuff.
Yeah.
Can you help us figure out what to say to oneself in those moments of anger or frustration with oneself, you know, that the negative talk that happens in the head?
I think, you know, I think it's an individual thing, but, you know, something to some ideas that I give players are just a phrase like, you know, let's get back into the moment, enjoy this game. You know, that's or thinking about other reasons that you enjoy the game and how you're spending that, you know, that 4 to 5 hours. And, you know, is it really worth getting upset about? I mean, probably not in the grand scheme of things.
It's like a, first world problem.
Exactly. Yes. And I mean, you know, I can understand, you know, tour players, obviously, and a lot of the players that, you know, that I work with are under intense pressure, and, you know, numbers are very important and that kind of stuff. But, you know, they have more of a reason to get upset about it than you or me. You know, so for most of us, you know, just some kind of key phrase, just, you know, something to say, you know, it's over, you know, switch off. It's time to switch off. It's okay. I mean, even the tour players are hitting one out of three shots. Well, they're hitting fairways and greens 2 out of 3 shots. So that everyone is missing fairways and greens. And I think there's this kind of, you know, strive for perfection in this game, and you know, even among average players. And so remembering those kinds of things, you know, is important as well.
And we can talk to you. I need to do the legal ID, but we can Skype with you. We can, so let's talk about that after this. KPUA Hilo, KGU FM, Honolulu, KGU AM, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. Those are the radio stations we're on. We're also online at radiogolfclub.com, streaming live right now, and it's archived on my website at radiogolfclub.com, so you can listen back to 2007 to all the shows, about 50 a year. We're talking with David McKenzie. He's a mental game coach, and really, what is it, 90% of this game is mental? That's once, of course, you've learned how to actually hold a club and hit a ball. And his site is golfstateofmind.com. Can we have, like, personal interaction with you online?
You most certainly can, and that's one of the beauties of mental game coaching is that I don't need to see your swing. You know, so most of the work that I do with students is actually remote. So we can get on Skype. I mean, Skype is obviously face-to-face and, you know, if not phone. You talk to me, you tell me about your rounds. You know, we start off with an assessment, which is a series of questions where I can really kind of dig into your game a bit more and see where it is that, you're not being consistent or you're not consistently improving. And then after each round or before each round, you can check in with me and I can give you some guidance on, you know, where you should be putting your focus and, how you should, you know, be reacting and how you should warm up and those kinds of things. So, that is one of the great things about mental coaching is I don't need to see your swing at all.
GolfStateofMind.com. Do you still have your ebook available? Because I was looking at, remember, one, your mind and body are one system and affect each other directly. Two, you can choose how to think you can. Always choose your response to what happens. You know, I mean, just some of the things that you write and are really great triggers to remember.
Yeah, thank you. You can, when you sign up for my website, you get a free ebook and you get a free series of mental game lessons. Those are just sort of the places to start with mental game learning. And there's a questionnaire on there as well, which will help you start thinking about where you should be putting your focus. And it all starts to work to build this mental game blueprint or framework, you know, for every round that there's a system and there's a way to just get better at the mental game. So you start to get out of your own way and you start to do less of those things that hold you back, like as we talked about the self-criticism, the giving yourself the lessons in the head, the getting frustrated after each shot, all those kinds of things. It's a series and it's a process and it's definitely highly effective. I would recommend it.
Excellent.
Of course I would.
I'm David McKenzie. I'm the mental game coach and you can find David at golfstateofmind.com. You went to the University of St. Andrews, didn't you?
I did indeed. So that town is a very, very special place. So whenever I see those pictures of the Royal Ancient Golf Club and the Hamilton Hall in the background and the Swarkenburn Bridge there. It's a magical place. It really is. It's great that the Open is there this year. And it looks like the Chambers Bay is going to be a sort of British Open style course as well. So we've got two kind of Lynx majors coming up, which is going to be fantastic.
Isn't that cool? I was just, Bruce Charlton was on. He's the chief design officer for Robert Trent Jones 2 Design. And we were talking about how they put it together and how they built it and how much fun it was because it's such sandy. Well, it was a gravel sand, you know, quarry. So it had all the elements that they needed to make this golf course, which when I walked it, it is so physical. I mean, it's going to be a challenge, to put it mildly. David McKenzie, mental game coach, golfstateofmind.com. Get in touch with him. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. It's always a pleasure.
Excellent. And we'll talk again. We have to make it sooner.
Absolutely. Yes, we will.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And we'll be back right after this. We're going to talk with Guy Yamamoto. There's the Golf and Food Expo. It's next weekend, and it's a demo day, too. So if you're looking for something for Dad or, well, a gift. Mom loves to golf too, and she likes shiny new things, new arrows. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to.
They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem.
I've never had an eagle.
Heck, I've never had a birdie.
I would not recognize Jesper Parnevik.
I've never played a round of golf.
But I support the first tee.
It's teaching my daughter important values.
It gets them off the couch.
He's more patient, focused.
Self-confident.
He's just a happier kid.
At the First Tee, we teach kids important values they can take with them from the golf course to their communities and to the rest of their lives.
I didn't know a little golf ball could make such a big difference.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
A couple of dates to remember. The U.S. Girls Junior Amateur, you've got to, the deadline is passed to enter. It looks like June 3rd was the deadline. And, of course, that was this week. I think I mentioned that last week. The deadline to enter the U.S. Women's Amateur is July 1st. And it's got to be 11 o'clock Hawaii time. Okay, 11 o'clock Hawaii time that you get that in, because they operate, the USGA operates on Eastern time. Huge celebration for Hawaii's big winners yesterday at the 2015 Sony Open in Hawaii. Business and community leaders getting together at Waialae Country Club, because over 160 local nonprofit organizations awarded grants from the proceeds raised at the Sony Open in Hawaii, the PGA Tour event that's been going on forever here under various names at Waialae Country Club. And that's 160 local nonprofit organizations awarded grants and proceeds from the tournament host, Friends of Hawaii Charities, and their charity partner. They double the amount that comes in, okay? It's the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. All right, so let's talk about some things that are going on that's fun for you to do. First of all, there's a demo day and a sale, a Father's Day demo day and sale today at Ko'olina. It starts at 8, so it's underway already. You can get out there, ends at 2. Well, the sale starts at 8, ends at 2. The demo day starts at 9, ends at 1. So there's grand prizes and all kinds of stuff going on there. But Guy Yamamoto, the general manager of the Mililani Golf Course and the 1994 U.S. Amateur Public Links Champion, yay, from Hawaii, welcome to the show. Hi, Guy.
Morning, Danielle.
Mililani Golf Club, Bob Baldock Design. Andy Michael is the golf course superintendent. Thank you for keeping it so beautiful. Rose Polaris, if you want to do a tournament at Mililani, she does the tournaments and club play. Randy Coelho is in the pro shop. They've got Nike rental clubs for men and women in both left and right-handed versions. And Guy Yamamoto is in charge of it all. What's happening?
Oh, we're looking forward to next weekend.
Oh, what's happening next weekend?
So next weekend, it's the Golf and Food Expo. I think it's the latest evolution of what started out. I think once upon a time it was called Mega Day and Family Day. And now, you know, we've tried to incorporate not only golf, but the food trucks and, you know, just have a very fun, festive atmosphere for everybody to be out there.
And it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning next Saturday.
Correct. And this year we have Rodney Villanueva as our MC.
So he's so funny.
He'll be wandering the grounds with his quick wit. And we have music, live music. Nick Tamongdong, who plays guitar and excellent musician and also works for me. And Jeff, and we have Jeff Kaapea, who will come on after Nick and perform. And besides the demo day, we have, you know, the, like a putting contest and a foot joy shoe trunk sale, golf clinic by Jeff Ferry from Milani Golf Academy. Milani Junior Golf has a fundraiser going on, and the Milani High School golf team is helping Pepsi product taste testing, and the food trucks, as I had mentioned.
Alonzo's Taco Truck Hawaii, T-Girls Hawaii, Candy's Onalicious Grinds, all of those food trucks will be there.
Yeah. I'm kind of a beef lighter when it comes to going to the food truck events, but I think I can eat my way once I get there. But
yes,
but T-Girls, they have that mason jar, and if you purchased it at another event, and I guess they have a loyalty program, when you come back with their mason jar, they'll refill it for you for quite the deal.
That is awesome, isn't it? So
yeah,
that's going to be fun. Some of the driving range vendors will have the Mililani Golf Academy, Adams and TaylorMade and Ping and Callaway and Nike and Cobra. And you mean like these are all the guys out there doing the demo day?
Yes, they will be. Also, on the putting green, you can demo some Scotty Cameron putters if you'd like. And so that's something new. And Titleist is also having a ball fitting, so they'll ask you questions about your game and maybe perhaps how hard you swing at it and how far you hit your 5-iron kind of thing. And then from there, they'll take that data and select a golf ball that's fitted for your game.
Ooh, cool. I like that. People don't realize you can feel it like when you hit a rock. There's some balls when you hit them, or like if your swing is slow speed, you can't launch the rock.
Yeah, and technology has come such, I guess, with computer-aided design and all of those things, they are able to get the aerodynamics down. And I think once upon a time, I'm kind of dating myself here.
Don't worry, you've got experience. It's experience, guy.
The golf ball was you could either have one that went far or you could have one that performed. And now you can have the best of both worlds. You can, make your chip stop and yet still hit a 300-yard drive and it goes relatively straight. And so I think, like Jack Nicklaus once said, the golf ball has been the biggest impact on the game in the last 25 years maybe.
Yeah, and he wants it to go back to where it was 25 years ago. He's like, yeah, this is crazy. These courses are way too long, and it's the golf ball's fault.
Yeah, I think if we go back to wound balls, we might have people quitting golf. It'd be like, my ball's so crooked, I don't understand.
So, and the demo day, the cool thing about demo days is if you find something that you like, there's also the demo day pricing that goes along with it.
Correct. So best prices in town, and I think, the standard legal terminology is, prices too low to advertise. But when you show up, they'll tell you what it's going to cost you. And normally it is the absolute best price you can get unless you work for the manufacturer.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is like, having an inside friend. So Adams, TaylorMade, Ping, Callaway, Nike, Cobra. What is the Mililani Golf Academy going to do? Are they going to do like teaching?
Yeah, so Jeff, I believe, has several clinics, maybe like a short game clinic and some other things. He always likes to keep his students and the people who come by entertained. So I know last year he did a short game clinic, and then he did something out on the driving range. So he'll have, a few stalls on the range to do his thing, and we've got a few stalls reserved for it because we'll have regular play going on. Golfers will be playing golf as well, so we have some stalls open for them, and the rest of the stalls will be taken up by the demo day crew.
That's the practice facility, right?
Correct.
Right.
And then on the putting green, we've got a putting contest going on.
I want to get to that after I mention that tee times are available after 11 o'clock, and they're only $39 for Kama'aina. So that's 623-2222 to call.
Extension 2.
Extension 2. It's a nice number, 623-2222. And just give them a call and make a, you know, you can go out, you can be there at 9 o'clock. That's when everything starts. And then after 11, by then you'll want to play golf. You got to test that new whatever it is you found, right?
That's
and
right.
Speaking of finding, this Titleist Putting Challenge. What if I find my putt that day and I win? What do I win?
We've got several prizes lined up. We will have them posted, but you know we've been creating, should I say, some nice. It's only going to be like a 3 or 4 hole putting contest, but we'll make it interesting and keep you off balance, maybe perhaps. So to speak, and it won't just be straightforward putting. Let's put it that way.
So you're not just going to have a green where we all putt into. You're going to do something a little bit more, as you say, creative.
Yes.
More Chambers Bay-like.
Perhaps, yeah. You know, maybe we'll call Mr. Jones up and ask for some advice.
Okay, so, and the upper putting green is the Pepsi product tasting. Okay, and the lower putting green is where the Titleist Putting Challenge is going to be. I'd like to see. That's also where you can see the Scotty Cameron putters. They've got Oakley sunglasses. Always cool to check out whether the sunglasses work for you on a golf course before you purchase, right?
Nothing like seeing them in the sun, right?
Yeah, yeah. And in front of the pro shop, there's going to be the Mililani Junior Golf Fundraiser. There's going to be a bake sale. So you better get there early. There's Golf Fitness Hawaii, Hydro Flasks, Pro Shop Merchandise Sale. So there's a sale, too. See, so you can go find some stuff for Dad or Mom. Because I don't just want to say Dad all the time. We have to get women involved, even though we just had Mother's Day. By the way, we're going to have a Dad's Day round of golf for two to give away at Poipu Bay Golf Course. I just wanted to mention that. I know. That starts next week. So remember, write down 808-296-5467. That's the call-in number. And the ninth caller is the winner. It's really simple. And then there's, okay, let me go back to in front of the pro shop. We've got the Mililani Junior Golf Fundraiser, the Bake Sale, Golf Fitness Hawaii, Hydro Flask, Pro Shop Merchandise Sale, and the FootJoy Shoes Trunk Sale. What's Golf Fitness Hawaii?
Golf Fitness Hawaii, Avis Kaneshiro is a TPI or Titleist Performance Institute certified physical therapist, and she'll be teaching, besides promoting her physical fitness business, but she'll be giving tips on how to stretch, things you can do to enhance your physical performance on the golf swing.
Excellent. Oh, yeah, because it's really important to warm up the muscles, get the blood flowing before you demand. That way you don't hurt yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess on the Golf Channel there was that program where those two guys used to come out and do some drills and stuff. So Avis has gone through the program.
She's oh, yeah.
I've certified, had, so great yeah. resource.
Absolutely. And I really am excited about that because Titleist Performance Institute instructors have been on the show to talk about, you know, what they do. And then they, of course, teach the people who become certified in the things that they do. And we've got a couple of really, really talented young people in Hawaii to go to so you can do the best for your body. The best for your weekend next Saturday is the Golf and Food Expo at Mililani Golf Club. And thanks so much for being on the show. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and goes till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's Saturday with Rodney Villanueva to make you laugh. Thank you, Guy Yamamoto, for being on the show.
Daniel, thank you very much.
Awesome. Okay, let's thank the people who make this show possible. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing CCTV surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the world. I love the idea of seeing what Snoopy's doing, whatever your dog or cat's name, on your laptop or your smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building or a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Boy, I miss those trips to Kauai. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And remember, next week we start giving rounds for two to the winner. Just 808-296-5467, and you win two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. And my buddies at Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment, for protection for your home or for your business, for your concert or your special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, it's what you need in Hawaii and California. I want to thank everybody at Avance, a big shout out to you folks, and Hawaii Golf Travel News.com. Norm Gunther, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, Norm Gunther. Go find out about his golf packages and book your trip to Hawaii or from Hawaii to your favorite golf destination. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2015.